Welcome to another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Madison, and today I'm joined by Sarah and Rebecca from our SBDC team. We discuss their experiences as business owners and how they use that experience to counsel their clients. When business owners come to the Small Business Development Center, they're probably wondering what qualifies us to be business counselors. Sometimes it's that we have vast experience in a specific industry, or sometimes it's that we have years of experience owning our own business. Today, I'm meeting with two of our counselors, Sarah Mattson and Rebecca Birsch, so they can share some of their expertise and tools they used, or wish they would have used, when they were running their businesses. So welcome, ladies. Let's start with giving a little bit of context about the businesses you owned. Rebecca, could you go first?
Sure. So I'm Rebecca, and I started a business with my husband in 2012, and it was a commercial cleaning company. And we ran it for 5 years. He stayed with me the first 3 years, then decided to go back into the IT world. And I ran it for 2 years by myself after that and sold it.
And Sarah?
Yeah, in 2011, my husband at the time and I started a plumbing business. He was a master plumber by trade, had been doing plumbing for about 5 years, I think, and was ready to make the leap to business ownership. So we joined forces, him doing all the plumbing, obviously, me doing pretty much most of the things that weren't plumbing. So accounting, marketing, getting all the paperwork set up to start our business. And it's still going strong all these years later. And I'm still actually involved in the accounting side of the business.
Okay, great. So let's start with some tools that you did use and that you would recommend to other small business owners.
One thing that we did in the very beginning was set up QuickBooks, which if you know me, a lot of people know I'm a huge fan of QuickBooks. But we didn't. That was one of the very first things we did because we wanted our business to be like other service businesses at the time that were still writing like paper receipt invoices. So off the bat, we knew we wanted to do digital receipts and invoices and accept payments that way. And so right off the bat, we set up QuickBooks. I'm glad we didn't wait on that. I felt like we were very organized from the beginning. Now, I mean, I did mess it up horrendously and have to fix it all multiple times, but we really spent a lot of time getting those systems set up. So we were really focused on what technology we could use to run our business as efficiently as possible. Because at that time, we were just working, or I should say Derek was working out of the house. It was just a one-person plumber. So he was doing all the invoicing, all the phone calls, and all the plumbing work on top of that. So it was really important that he could create efficient systems to make sure invoices were sent so that he got paid on jobs, to make sure, you know, realtors would want, like, letters written. So we had to have, a way to, type up professional things like that. So we were just... We utilized a lot of apps on the phone, scanning documents, because at that time, some of our vendors required us to fax documents to them.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were like, no, we're not faxing anything. So we found an app that you can, scan. This seems kind of dated now, but I still find clients who don't know this is out there, so pro tip. But, yeah, we had an app where we could scan documents and digitally fax it to people. So just little things like that really helped us stay on top of paperwork and run efficiently.
Right, and that's really how you grow, because if he was still doing everything manually, how would you ever have the bandwidth to hire more employees?
Yeah, well, I've always wondered how businesses run that way.
Well, we used QuickBooks also because, I don't have an accounting degree, and I wanted it nice and clean so that I could keep up with it. I knew that I could turn it in for taxes at the end of the year, and there weren't going to be any questions from an accounting standpoint, because I had a lot of fears when I first started the business, and my fear was, oh, I'm going to mess up. And I knew QuickBooks was going to keep me safe from that standpoint. But the other thing that I loved about QuickBooks that came in after I'd been a business owner for about a year, I found a way to use it to look at percentages for my costs, cost of goods sold, and also from expenses, so that I could benchmark, because in the commercial cleaning industry, the profits are really slim. They just are. And if you are not taking care of every single penny and watching every single penny, then you can find yourself just not being profitable and you're working for free. And so that whole percentage ranking and benchmarking that was offered through the QuickBooks program was essential for us to be able to make money and pay ourselves. One of the other things that I stepped into really early on was using a website that could lead generate for us. And I spent money on it monthly for SEO purposes through a marketing agency. And that helped me have a sales force. So I wasn't spending all my time trying to generate leads. That was doing it for me. And that is one of those things people are afraid to step into. They're afraid to spend money on. But without it, it's really hard for you to have enough time to do everything. And if your website is one of your best salespeople and it's working correctly, and you're doing content and word content, SEO word searches, all of that stuff working together, and somebody's an expert at it, then you've got more time to do other things. And it is time consuming if you're trying to do that to full capacity. And it was a huge asset for us to have. And then I guess the last thing was, we knew we were going to have a lot of employees. So we started from the start with a payroll company. And that took that off of my brain.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'll say too, we also used a lead generator. It's a home advisor platform where contractors can set up profiles and then homeowners can go in and say that they need some sort of work done, whether it's construction work, yard work, plumbing, whatever. And we get the lead and we could reach out to the customer and try to get the job, and you pay like per lead. But it was powerful because we were just starting out. Our SEO wasn't super top notch yet. We didn't have reviews built up on Google yet. But Home Advisor, when you type in Plumbing Chattanooga, is like one of the third organic search results that comes up. So you can take advantage of these other companies. And, you know, like Yelp, that's why it's important to be on Yelp and Google Pages, or they don't call that, just Google Map, Apple Map. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that are usually the top of the search engine. So that's a really good tip for people starting out. Like, you don't have to pour tons of energy necessarily into your own website's SEO. Just make sure you're on these other
platforms that will help you,
that already have natural high SEO. One other thing that we did, this wasn't really in the beginning, but at some point we really wanted to grow our Google reviews. So we did sign up for a service, one of those services that like emails customers, solicits a review, gets them to do a review. And I really didn't think it would work because I like to think that I ignore those kind of emails myself, which I know I should. But I'm like, if I write a review for one person, I have to write it for everyone. So I just choose to ignore it. But anyway, we got like 40 reviews like in 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you actually can. A lot of people are like, I'm terrified to do that. If there's customers that you don't want them to get the email, then you can opt them out of it. Like if it wasn't like your favorite customer.
Oh, like you know they're going to give a bad
review. Or maybe it just wasn't a great experience all around. A bad customer fit. But we got like 40 reviews in 2 months and then dropped the service. We're like, okay, we're good. Like that's all we needed. We just need it to get over a hump. We need to get like past 2 reviews and really have some substantial reviews, which really helped us pull up higher on Google Maps.
Yeah. Okay.
And then
good pro tip.
Yes. And I did want to add that Chris and I purchased a franchise. It did not exist in our area, so we started organically. There is a lot of advantages for using a franchise. It has name recognition. They've gone through and created systems in place. You have some buying power for products. And so there were some benefits for us to own a franchise and start from scratch. So even though nobody knew who we were when we came into this market, we still had a huge learning curve to our advantage. They'd already worked through all the kinks, figured out all the problems, and were able to help us.
I wanted to interview the two of you because you have a unique perspective now that you are both business counselors. So what are some tools that you wish you would have known about whenever you first started?
SBDC.
Okay, besides us. But, no,
seriously, I really didn't know about it as a resource. Gosh, the things that I talk to my clients about, and truly the reason this podcast was not to promote SBDC, I know, but it really was something that I wish I had known because we had to learn so many lessons the hard way. I wish someone had been there to help me just know what I didn't know. That was by far our biggest mistake. I think we paid a $1,500 penalty for not having workers' comp exemption. And it's like, no one ever sent you a letter saying, hey, you're supposed to do this, or you're going to get a huge fine. So I tell a lot of my clients, let me tell you from personal experience, because I've done this wrong. That's why I remember it now. So a lot of I can pass that on to clients mostly because of all the mistakes that I made in the beginning. And I think if I had had good counsel or just someone who had been there before, I was stubborn. I was like, I can figure this out. I'm resourceful. But there's still just things that you wouldn't even know to look for or that you wouldn't even know to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one for me. I think on the front end, we were just cheap and bootstrapping so much, even though we could have afforded some things. For example, legal services. Like we scrimped on that. And I think it would have been wise of us probably to have better written contracts instead of just copy and pasting from other, which is what we did. And have since gotten that, had that looked over by an attorney and had it corrected. You know, nothing really bad came out of that. But looking back, it would have been a small investment. Yeah. And to just make that relationship with an attorney so we could have called on them. Like when little hiccups happened along the way, we already had that relationship built. I wish we had not been so, I guess, stubborn on my part, like just feeling like I could do it all myself to a fault.
I think mine was, I wish I would have had a mentor to just help walk me through the fear. There was so many unknowns and we grew really fast and I was stressed out when I really didn't need to be stressed out. I was always worrying about what was going to happen. I just wish I would have had somebody that said, hey, you've covered all of the bases. You've done everything correctly. Trust the process, trust the system, and enjoy the ride as opposed to living, well, what if they don't pay? And there's a lot of that stuff that I just could have been a whole less stressed out about.
Yeah. Care less about some of the little things.
Yeah. What is little and what's big? What are real threats and what are just perceived, you know, stress points that are just not necessary?
Yeah. And some of that takes like your 15th customer of not paying, realize, oh, this again. But the first few times it happens, it feels like
it's devastating.
The end of the world.
What? They're not going to pay me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, figuring out not every client is a good match, and that's okay. It's okay for it to not be perfect. You can't be everything to everyone. That's just a learning curve that doesn't come easily because most people are people pleaser and they want to keep everybody happy. So I think a mentor could have helped walk me through that. And then the other thing that the SBDC offers is mailing lists and references. And there's some really good research out there that I had no idea existed. And I wish I would have known that up front. It would have made me a lot more calculated on who I wanted to approach as potential clients and what clients would be a good match for our services and how we were organized.
Yeah. I'll add one more thing I wish we had done in the beginning, and that was professional branding. In the beginning, again, we DIY'd everything. And I think I made our logo on Microsoft Word, which is not even like a graphic platform whatsoever.
Oh my gosh. I just cringed.
I know. And then like after we had it like printed and put on the truck and signs and all cards and everything, we're like, oh gosh, we have like literally the same logo as every single other person in this town, the mountain and the river. Very original. And years later, we did a rebrand. I wish in the beginning we had, again, invested a little bit more money and had professional branding done. I think we were so intimidated. We never even shopped it. It just sounded expensive, so we never did it. So that's definitely something I wish I would go back and change.
Yeah, well, and with websites like Canva.com, it's a whole lot easier to do your branding. It's a whole lot easier to design a logo because people come in to us with an idea of what they're looking for. They just don't have the technology to do it. And so if you can go to Canva, it's a lot easier now to design.
Better than Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Very intuitive, too.
It is.
So I want to back up to something that Rebecca said about having a mentor, and you really need someone that's going to tell you that everything's going to be okay. And yet another reason why I wanted to have you both on this podcast, because you both went into business with your husbands. How did that relationship work also being business partners, and how did you guys rely on each other? I'm sure it was not as easy going as it should have been.
I would say for us, actually, it really, really was because we had such different skill sets, but we also had the same vision. So we knew what we wanted the business to be. We both were on the same page. Derek didn't want to handle the paperwork type stuff and the accounting and the bookkeeping. And I like eat that stuff up. Like I loved it. And that's truly where I fell in love with business, And I tell a lot of people this. I hate plumbing. It sounds is so. When someone starts talking about it, it's so boring to me. But I fell in love with the business side of it, and so I'm like, that's why I love this job, because I can work with all kinds of different industries and businesses, and it doesn't matter what that business is. Everyone still has to get their business licenses and have their accounting system set up and have good, efficient systems for running their business and do payroll and all that stuff. I think we both support each other. And like you said, we knew each of our roles and we didn't try to overstep the other one. I never try to give advice on how he should handle a plumbing situation. And he never would touch the books and still doesn't. But smart enough that he could get in there if he wanted to, but he just trusts and leaves that and has always left that side to me. And so we just had good trust in each other that we could do each of our roles. And I'll kind of add this little story. I always supported him wanting to start the business. I was like, yeah, I want to own a business. I want more money. I could see the financial potential in it. I knew he was smart enough to do it, but I was scared to make that like jump. And we had already been planning for months and months. The next step was to buy a vehicle. Like that was going to be like, okay, we're doing this. And we were on vacation at the beach and there was a used van for sale on the side of the road, like across from our condo. And he walked over and bought it. And I was like, this is happening. And I honestly don't know if I would have ever made the jump. I would have kept researching and thinking about it for another 2 or 3 years. So it really took both. He had that skill set of being able to take that risk and pull the trigger. And I had a full-time job, so our risk was still pretty low. For us, it worked out well. Generally, I hate partnerships unless each partner can bring separate but valuable resources to the table.
Sometimes I hear about our clients who don't have that support system. Someone's trying to start a business and their spouse is anti starting a business completely. They don't want them to do it. And I just want to emphasize, like, you really need someone who's going to emotionally support you. Maybe not even financially, but that emotional support can really make the difference.
And it's easy when you start a business for it to be on your mind 24/7. When Chris and I started the business, he was coming out of a long-term role in IT, and he just needed something different. He was just looking for a break. And again, he was like, he was 100% in, and I was like, well, I'm not sure. And he says, Rebecca, you're going to be great at this. And before we knew it, we started it. And thank goodness I was with him, because he's so trustworthy and I knew that he cared 100%. But we did not know our roles when we first started into it. So we both dug in completely, and he was going to be operations. I was going to be sales because I have a sales background. And then quickly he learned, really liked the sales side of it. And I, not being financial again, just dug into the financial side of it and found out I love that part. I love all the analytics, the data. How do you make yourself successful? All of those moving parts on profitability just excite me. And I didn't realize I was going to walk in and do that. So it ended up being quickly for us to understand when we started growing that he could be in operations, but it's hard to do everything. So if you don't split the roles, you're just duplicating, and you've got to trust the other person to do what they say they're going to do and not try to second guess it. But so we started hiring operations people quickly because it allowed him to be in sales, which he just shined. He was so good at it. And so when he stepped out of the business after 3 years and went back to his original love, which is IT, and he's incredible at that too. But so when he stepped out of that and I had to take on the operations side as the sole owner, it was hard. What he did and what he brought to that was just a real gift. And so knowing that and trusting the people, especially if you do separate into a different roles, having somebody in mind and understanding both of those sides, being cross-trained, but not necessarily having to wear all of those hats. We ran into the problem that we were talking about it at 11 o'clock at night. We were talking about it at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we had to, we had to eventually get a buzzword to stop. And so if we were at a really nice dinner with candlelight, you know, it was, and we started talking about business, one of us would say, how's the weather? And we knew not another word, not another sentence. You had to stop.
That's funny. I always say we made all of our life decisions when we were on like road trips, business strategic meetings and whatnot. But to your point, Madison, about having support, like it absolutely doesn't have to be a spouse, but if there's a friend or there's someone who really knows your skill and abilities, it's really great to have someone that supports you in it, because it is so hard to make that leap. That kind of helps provide a little bit of a safety net if you have people like cheering you on.
Mm-hmm. Alternatively, and I'll copy what Lynn always says, you need someone who's going to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear.
That's yes. True.
So yeah. You need room for both of those types of people.
Yeah, kind of as I was saying that, I was like, well, not everyone, because at some point you need someone who can make sure it's going to be viable and make sense. There's a lot of dreams out there that don't necessarily make great businesses. Mm-hmm. So, you need to find someone to be supportive of you and also to be honest. A voice of reason and honest. Yeah,
and honest, yes.
So let's go back to tools. Both of you mentioned that you hired quite a few people. So I'm assuming that you had to have apps or some kind of tools that you use to manage those employees.
Yeah, I'll speak to a little bit. As everyone knows, skilled workers are nearly impossible to find these days. We tried everything. Banners outside the shop, magnets on vans. But ultimately, probably the most successful tool we've always used is Indeed. Now, Facebook Jobs is what I recommend, a combination of Indeed and Facebook Jobs. I think you'll find people who are actively looking for a job on Indeed. That's what I like about it. And we've always had good success with it. I like the requirements that you have to upload. You can set parameters, like you require they upload a driver's license to prove that they can drive if you need them to, certain things like that. And it's always worked well. I like the idea with Facebook ads that you can boost it and do some like paid advertising for your job. And you could actually use like some of the Facebook parameters and set it like in a geographical location. So maybe like I had this suggestion recently, there's a lot of people moving into Chattanooga. So you could do a Facebook ad in Atlanta or Nashville saying we're hiring a plumbers in Chattanooga. And try to attract people who are moving here or might be interested in moving here.
That's a great idea.
So Indeed, and then, yeah, what did you guys use? Because I'm sure you had a lot of...
Yeah, so at our peak, we were probably right around 120 employees. And we tried to hire within a boundary of where the clients were going to be. So tried to get employees that were going to be located 10, 15 miles at the most, because then it was easier for them to get to work. We worked around what hours they wanted to work. If they only wanted to work on weekends, we found them accounts like that. If they only wanted to work for, you know, at night, then we found accounts that matched them. So we were really careful about matching the employees to a client that would, you know, satisfy their needs, because most of ours were part-time employees. This was their second job. They were paying for medical bills or funerals, or they were putting themselves through nursing school. We realized that the turnover, once you've gotten through nursing school, then this is not going to be the good job that you wanted to be. And so we were holding interviews weekly, every single Thursday morning. We had orientations weekly. And because of that, we had to have a big client employee pool to interview from. And so, yeah, so we did Indeed a lot. We did Facebook. I think there was a couple of other ones that Chris did. And then we did background checks on every single employee. And that, you need to be part of that. If you're going to be bonded, you really do need to be doing background checks on everybody.
That's true. And a lot of people don't realize there's companies out there. There's a few, I know, just in our area that do background checks and drug testing all in one fell swoop. So you can just send your employee to that location and they
and
take care of it all for
you. It's not as expensive as you think it would be.
No, less than $100, I think, or maybe right around there. So very worth it and easy to do. A lot of people are tempted to use like an online service. And I'm like, you can knock them both out if you do drug testing at your business. If you're construction or cleaning or something that carries like liability, you probably need to. But yeah, that's another tool I'm thinking of that we use that's kind of employee related. If you have a fleet or you need to track your own mileage even in your car, there's apps, of course, that you can track mileage. But if you have a car that you exclusively use for business, we have GPS trackers installed on all of our vehicles.
So did we.
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, you can just go and print a log, and that's your backup documentation for the mileage. And you could look at use that total mileage for filing your taxes and all that. So that's...
Wow, that's super handy.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Saves so much time too.
So much time. And you can see where your employees are. Not that you're like stalking your employees necessarily, but if you need to know if they're on the way to the job, you can just pull up the app and see where they're at.
Yeah, it's not stalking. Yeah. They're in the company vehicle.
No. It's for operations. We've rarely used it, but sometimes we've had to go back and say who went to that job. And so we could look at the log and see which truck went to which address or whatever, things like that. So that's a useful tool.
We used a clock-in system that they just clocked in from a telephone. And so it was Chronotech. So they clocked in when they started the job, and then they clocked in when they finished it. And that self-populated straight into our payroll system.
Oh, that's nice.
So I could always go back and check, you know, you had this many hours through Chronotech, and this is how many hours you got paid for. So they were paid for every single minute that they were on the clock. Yeah. And it helped keep it very clear. And
how did you get them to use it? Like we had always struggled with that.
If you don't clock in, you don't.
I know. That's what I said.
But then again, there are some government agencies out there that follow people for child support, whatever.
Yeah.
And this was documentation for us to be able to prove these are the hours that this person worked. So it helped on so many different levels, not just the pay, but tax purposes and location. We could go back to our clients and say, hey, we know that they were in your office this amount of time. So if something happened at a different time, it wasn't our employee because they were not at that location at that time.
Yeah. Another tool that we have always used is giving techs their own iPhone, which sounds expensive. But again, we learn to like invest in things if we want to run smoothly. And so we are always willing to invest in tech related things that would make our jobs easier. As our business was growing and we had a whole fleet of vehicles, it became unthinkable for us to manually enter in invoices from all the different jobs that they were doing. So we set up where everyone had their own iPhone, because first of all, they're communicating a lot. They're calling customers, they're calling and checking back with the office of the next job they need to go to. So everyone had their own iPhone with QuickBooks app loaded on it, and you can set restrictions. So our techs will just send invoices from the job site and accept payment too, all from their phone. So the phone was a very important tool. A lot of companies might be doing that now. I'm not sure. When we started, that felt pretty innovative for that industry. Back in the olden days, 10 years ago, 10 years ago or so, people were like doing the carbon copy receipt. And then at the end of the day, they'd give it to like the receptionist that works in the office, who's a whole other person you have to pay, by the way. So again, this is just running like as efficiently and lean as possible. So the iPhones are a lot cheaper than hiring a secretary or someone to manually input information.
Right.
Well, and we were able to set up similar to that. How are you saving time? How are you saving money? And part of it is, how are you keeping employees on staff? And so the systems that we had in place would flag us when they had been there 6 months and flag us when they had been there after 3 months. So we could check and see when they needed a raise and when they needed a bonus. And it was just all documented in one little sit down at the computer, and you figured it out. And then therefore you're keeping happier employees because they're not having to come to you asking for a raise. You already know that they need a raise.
Yeah, you can stay proactive and organized, and always say a year flies by before you know it.
Oh, it does.
Especially keeping up with 100-something employees. That's madness. I can't even imagine. You have to have systems.
Any other tools you want to mention?
The only other thing I think is, when you're running a business, you have to keep up with insurances and general liability insurances and worker comp, and having a system with the payroll and having a system through QuickBooks, it allows you to pull those numbers up quickly for you to, when you get audited, and inevitably you're going to get audited by an insurance company, especially if you're in an industry like ours, and they would come in to see whether we had ladders, because we were not paying for us to be on ladders. So they would come in and do that, but they would want to know all of our numbers. And if you don't have that already documented, it's really hard to go through an audit if you don't have all of that documented.
God, I can't even imagine the paperwork you have to submit for workers' comp is...
Yes, and tremendous. Payroll companies, hallelujah.
You just print one report. Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of, if you're using a third-party payroll, they might have all this stored on their system, I imagine. Yeah, one thing we did a few years ago was move all of our paperwork to the cloud. So all of our employee files, business licenses, all of that, you know, they're still hard copies, but now we can access it digitally from anywhere, especially now working from home, not coming into the office every day. You can still just have access to it. And that's pretty simple, but I do know some businesses that are still not on the cloud. So that's one tool and recommendation that's helped us keep all of our paperwork organized.
We had a person that had a location, another franchise, and they did not have it. And this was years ago. They did not have it, all of their information in two locations. And a pipe burst and it flooded, and they ended up losing all of their documentation, and they had to go back and try to figure all of that out again. So what a great advice to have it in more than one location and not just on your one little laptop that you work at, because that laptop might get lost.
Yes, yes, which is why I always recommend QuickBooks Online, not desktop, because that's, and pretty much any software, always go for something that's cloud-based so that you can access it from anywhere and not be dependent on one piece of equipment.
Okay, I have one last question for you both. What would you tell your past self in regards to either starting or growing your business?
I'll start. I would say trust the process, not stress so much. When you have systems in place, the growth will come. But if you don't ever put any money into it, then it's not going to grow. It's just, it's not going to happen organically. So you really have to understand where to put the money. But once you've put the money and you're following all the right directions, trust the process and don't get so stressed about it. And then the other thing I think I would say is junk in, junk out. So get the systems in place, get your system set up, and make sure that you're being consistent across all boards with how you're doing it. Because it just gets all jumbled up if you're not really careful on making sure that you're following a system for clarity, simplicity, and scalability. You can't scale if you're not organized from the beginning. So,
oh, that's true. My answer is prepare for what your business is going to look like in 5 years. So we were bootstrapping and we did things based on what the immediate needs were when we were starting the business, such as not getting professional branding, not establishing the LLC in the beginning. It really wasn't necessary in the beginning, but then when we grew, it did become necessary as our liabilities grew. And boy, that was a headache. So still is, to be honest. So my advice is to look 5 years and go ahead and set up those systems as if you're already at that 5 year mark.
Yeah, I've seen you do that with clients too. You say like, okay, imagine where you want to be 5, 10, however far in the future, and let's work backwards.
Yeah, but if you know that in 5 years you're going to have a fleet of vehicles and a building and that's your goals, then set up the structure of your business to match that. Set up your professional branding, get attorneys and proper contracts. Don't think I'll do all that later when the business grows.
There's never time for that later.
There's never time for that later.
And you're unraveling a mess if you've not been organized along the way. And who has time to unravel something that could have been planned in advance?
Yeah. So a lot of that does come to having a vision to start with. So first of all, envision what you want the business to really be. And then just set up your systems and structure based on, I would say, that five-year plan.
Yes. Yes. Because having a vendor program and employee program, HR program, a tracking program, all of that stuff is so much harder to develop after you've already started it and it's not and not the right path. You can change paths along the way if you feel like, there's better information out here and there's better tools out here now, but go ahead and use technology to simplify so that you do have time to spend in your wheelhouse where your genius state is and not be manually doing things you don't need to do.
Yeah. And just to contradict myself just a little bit, I don't want that to lead people to think, oh, I need to spend more time and waste time now getting more money to do this stuff. Sometimes if you just need to get something together just to get started, don't delay starting your business. Don't use this as an excuse. Yes. But if you have the time and resources to plan out and you're already planning, then go ahead and invest and getting everything started to begin with, but don't let it delay you for another few years to start your business.
Yeah. And dream, dream. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you both. This was super enlightening and interesting. And I just want to thank you both for your time and your expertise.
Of course.
Thank you, Madison.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week here on How to Business.